The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. Welcome to Lynn's Warriors, ground zero in the war to protect our children. And now, Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Let's do this. Welcome, Warriors. This is Warrior Saturday, March 18th, 2023, on today's News Talk Global, TNT Radio. And I am Lynn Shaw, the Warrior. And today, you are all my Warriors for the next hour and beyond. We are going to tell you what's going on around the United States with kids and families. And we are going to tell you what you can and must do about protecting yourselves and your children online and in real time. Thank you for joining us. Let's settle in. Listen up. Get ready to take your weekly warrior notes. You know the drill out there, warriors. We have so much to cover. We're coming to you live from New York City. Let's rock and roll. I do want to mention something, though. A lot of people were saying to me, well, I didn't hear you. Where do I find the episodes? So if you missed any of the Lynn's Warriors shows, please, all you have to do, it's very simple, is visit the episodes. Just click on that little tab on the TNT radio website, because Lynn's Warriors, as well as all of the TNT shows, are on every single platform imaginable to man. And I think they're still creating more of them as I sit here and speak. We've got Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, everything. So you won't miss out on anything of Lynn's Warriors. I just want to throw that in. Your way, so you don't miss any of our expert guests, any of our expert information. All right, the program may be disturbing because it's all true. Let's jump right in. Buckle up, warriors, raising awareness. Now, I use this a lot. I say raising awareness. And let me tell you something. I was doing an interview with somebody the other day, and the person I actually was interviewing said to me, raising awareness. Well, that sounds like some sort of liberal, progressive wording. Just stop it. All of the issues about children and families are bipartisan, meaning belongs to no political party at all. These are human rights abuses. This is in the protection of children and our families that are overwhelmed right now in the United States. This is never about left, right, or anything in between. So stop weaponizing all of it. It is about protecting American kids. And I'll also throw in kids around the world. So I'm going to give you a few headlines I think are very important from the last couple of days, because it seems like they're being thrown to my inbox. I'm getting so many different press releases specifically about education. So I wanted to share a few of them I think are very important, and you may not hear on any other platforms, any other mainstream media. Texas will take over Houston's public school district, one of its largest in the United States. You know, here are my thoughts. Of course, it's a dream, warriors. I wish we could get politics out of the classroom and get the classroom out of politics and all of that jazz, as we like to say. You know, I like school choice. You know what school choice is. You pay taxes, your taxes. You should be able to pick what school you want your child to go to, whether that would be a private school, a charter school, whether that would be a school of faith, whatever you want. You should be able to have school choice. And we also know with school choice, basically, it costs half the money to educate a child than it does with the public school system in the United States. Seems like a no-brainer to me. There's a lot of fighting going on with this. So Houston, the government stepped in because failing grades. And they were also, the government, not happy with all of the programs for disabled kids. They were not up to par. Now, it's fair to say, pre-pandemic, pandemic, now, everybody, education system lacking behind. Easily, kids are at least a year behind. Actually, where I am in New York City, we don't really know. I hear kids are 2 to 3 years behind. So all we know is if they're a month behind, it doesn't matter. It's not looking good for the education system. Now, here's the problem. This is mostly the majority house is Republican. So the Democrats are fighting, again, that weaponization, which does not belong in the school classrooms and all that. But what do you do when it's a failing school system? And of course, the ACLU, they stepped in and they're fighting because they want everybody to have freedom. The problem with Houston is, and this is what we really have to look at, and people are afraid to really go near this point, but I'm going to mention it. The public school system in Houston is 90% made up of children of color, Black, Hispanic. And why not be able, in my warrior's dream world, can you imagine school choice for these kids who could really, you know, flower in this environment? Here in New York City, as far as school choice goes, we know the top 25 schools, this was announced a couple of weeks ago, public schools in New York City, 23 of them are charter schools. Again, a no-brainer, meaning this smaller environment, this one-on-one, this actually these community schools that are geared to what the kids need in the communities. We know it, you know, does better, but we have these powerful teachers' unions. So we're going to keep an eye on this. I want to see actually what happens in the Houston. How are they, Houston Public School? What is the government now going to do? They take over? What does that mean exactly? We're going to follow up on this. Now we have Florida scouring, going through textbooks. They spent a lot of time going through mathematics textbooks, looking for critical race theory, looking for inappropriate content. I get, you know, if I was in Florida, I might have started with, I don't know, maybe this social studies textbooks. I don't know about math. They did announce in Florida, they found inappropriate content in the math books. However, they did not tell us what that inappropriate content was. And now they're on to the social studies books. So this is a whole another, I don't know, fiasco, wasting time when we should be spending our resources, spending our energies on actually working with our precious children. Now, the biggest thing also to come along is starting Tuesday in Los Angeles, which is the second largest school district in the United States. The teachers are going out on strike. They are threatening. It's about 35,000. It's about 30,000 teachers, about 35,000 employees, because you have to remember school aides, cafeteria workers, bus drivers. And this will leave approximately 500,000 kids up to who knows what. When they went on strike a couple of years back, it lasted 6 days. Now, kids, when they're idle, they have nothing to do. I don't know. They'll spend more time on the internet. Very frightening. What if a mom, a dad, or single parent has to work? You have to leave your child at home. Also, take this into account. A lot of kids count on school breakfast, school lunch. They're not going to get it. There's nothing. And there's not even online learning. There's going to be zero, a complete shutdown. Now, one of the good points about this, though, and I agree with this, the school, for instance, cafeteria workers, janitors, their salary is around $25,000 a year. Now, come on. Let's give them some more money. We're giving money all over the world to everybody else. Well, that's for another program. We'll stick with right here in the United States. And we need, again, an empowerment of our children. So we're going to keep an eye on this for Tuesday. It looks like it's going to happen. And this is just anti-education. And brings me to my home state. You know, for once, my governor, Kathy Hochul, she wanted to empower the budget of New York State to include more charter schools. She wanted to add 100 charter schools to New York State. She sees, again, when I told you 23 out of 25 public schools, New York City charter schools, she saw this. And she went to the House, to the Senate in Albany, our state capital, and she tried very hard to get more financing, to get more everything. And you know what? They knocked her down. Again, another point, how strong our school unions are, our teachers' unions. However, they did approve $1 million for a study. This is like flushing, at least my experience, flushing something down, money down the toilet. They did approve $1 million to have a study to see, well, what could we better do for the kids. So none of this is helping our children. And also, we just announced in New York, here's another thing against the kids, K through 12, the New York State Education Department is lowering all standards for K through 12 students, literally setting all of the pandemic related learning loss. They want that to be the new normal. So instead of working with our kids, getting them back on track, empowering them, giving them extra resources, giving parents extra resources to work with all of this, they're not. They just lowered the standards. I also heard so many kids, at least here in New York City, did not ever return to the public school system. And there's no accounting for them. Where did all these kids go? I continually ask that question. We do know during the pandemic, a lot of kids, after or during, if states had the schools open, they did go to, for instance, private schools that were open, charter schools that were open. So that's kind of good news, I guess. But so much school information you need to know about. And then again, and I don't really like to go near this, subject. We now have high schools fighting about the whole trans, gender affirming, whatever that is called. And this I'll tell you why I'm bringing this up is because a Vermont school recently refused to play against an opposing basketball team with a trans player, just saying a boy's body, it just doesn't match a girl's body. You know, I go along with that. That is the science. And they were just kind of kicked off. They had to default. There's a whole thing going on. And we've got all those issues going on. But one of the most frightening things, I think, is when I saw Dr. Rachel Levine, talking about, well, in 2024, we are going to go all in on this gender-affirming, the wheel is turning with our kids. And what does that mean? We have parental autonomy. We have control of our children. Warriors, this is not any kind of judgment. This is to let you know what's going on so that you can take action. You can listen to our program. You can utilize the resources we give out, lots of free resources. You can be aware, but you have to talk to your kids. You have to communicate. And don't tell me you don't have time, you can't do it, because I'm telling you, let's get back to that raise awareness. That's the first step. You can't be scared because the kids are going to hear it. I don't care if they're 9 years old or they're 17 years old. They're going to hear it elsewhere. They're going to see it online. Wouldn't you rather information comes from you? So there's, you know, a bunch of easy steps you can begin with. Again, communication, you're going to start with that. Remember, they're going to hear it or see it somewhere else. It might as well be truthful and factual and come from you. Things like little things, no Wi-Fi devices in the bedroom. Now, that's a tough one with teenagers, but you can kind of wean them off, you know, and you have to also be the role model and do that yourself. So I'm talking to all of you adults out there too. Get off the devices, lock them away overnight, because you know what? The kids need their rest. Teachers are reporting to me that kids are falling asleep with their heads on the desks during the day. That is no good. They're not getting their rest because they're swiping, they're staying up all night, they're looking at everything, they're comparing themselves to other kids. We know about all these dangerous algorithms, so we got to start with getting the devices out of the bedroom. Then we want to limit screen time and we want to stick to it. No strangers. You need privacy settings. You need safety filters. And, you know, not they have to know their friends. I would suggest like 100 people on their platforms and less. A friend of mine, her daughter just signed up for Instagram, 17 years old, and within 1 hour, she had 1,200 people. And my friend said to her, well, you don't even know 1,200 people. And she said, oh, I don't know. They're coming at me. So we have all that going on. So you have to talk to your child. It should be no strangers, only their friends and people they know. And please, we've got to just keep talking about this. Talk about, I don't care if you start with 5 minutes a day, put those devices down, start, you know, then 15 minutes. I know it sounds very simple. We got to start. We got to start getting the kids off of the platforms. We've got to start re-engaging with them, getting their minds to think creatively and critically. That is so lacking. And you know what? We are going to get so much help with all of this today, because coming up, our guest, Chris McKenna, founder of Protect Young Eyes, is going to join us, and he is going to fill us in on the digital landscape facing you and your kids in 2023 and teach us how we can all stay healthy, happy, and safe. Stay tuned. Chris McKenna joins us when we return to Lynn's Warriors on today's News Talk Radio, TNT Radio.
You should hear what Alan Miller is talking about.
The revelations this week again, following like what we saw with the Twitter files and now with the lockdown files, we're seeing a situation where the whole kind of public sphere, the whole idea of trust and engagement with the public has been put under real pressure, hasn't it? And it does seem that there was quite a consistent attempt to not only nudge, but also obfuscate and lie to the public.
I read a piece questioning the wisdom of the lockdown policy in March 2020, about a week after it was imposed. And at every juncture, when the second lockdown was imposed, when the third lockdown was imposed, when schools were closed, when mask mandates were introduced in classrooms, we challenged the data supposedly underlying these decisions in lockdown skeptics. And the curious thing, Alan, is that we were completely pilloried for it at the time. We were accused of being COVID deniers, far right. No attempt to smear us wasn't used.
Alan Miller and today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Google and Facebook They don't sell you anything. They sell you.
Facebook constantly manipulates their users. They do it by the things that they insert into the news feeds, and they do it by the types of posts they allow their users to see.
It's what Google and Facebook are doing on a regular basis, by suppressing stories, by steering us towards other stories rather than the stories we're actually seeking. That's the real manipulation that's going on.
I was a design ethicist at Google, where I studied how do you ethically steer people's thoughts.
It will always favor one online music service over another and one candidate over another.
Google and Facebook has the power to undermine democracy without us knowing that democracy has been undermined.
There's what I call the creepy line, and the Google policy about a lot of these things is to get right up to the creepy line but not cross it.
Google crosses the creepy line every day.
Discover how society is manipulated by Google and Facebook. The creepy line at salemnow.com.
This is today's News Talk Radio.
After all, we got the best damn staff on the planet. Yeah!
TNT.
This is Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk TNT Global Radio, coming to you live from New York City. It is an honor to have Chris McKenna spend time with us today. It is also an honor to call him friend. Chris is the founder of Protect Young Eyes. He is a much-needed tech expert, an advocate, a strong leader in creating policy to help keep kids safe, and a dad. And the PYE, P-Y-E, that's Protect Young Eyes, team helps create safer digital spaces for kids. The PYE team is composed of many different professional backgrounds that include teacher, consultant, CPA, pastor, youth minister, IT support, marketer, scientist, wow, and parent. And they are ready to serve you and your families. Please follow Chris McKenna and the team at protectyoungeyes.com and find out how you can welcome the PYE team to your school, church, or community center for some digital safety empowerment, a must in 2023. Welcome, Chris McKenna, to the Warriors.
Lynn, it's so great to be with you. You're amazing. I need that intro every room I walk into, in my house, places I go. That was fabulous. Thank you.
Well, that was, I could go on and on and on, but the clock is always my enemy. I can't say enough good things about you and the work you're doing, Chris. And that was actually what I wanted to start with. I wanted to say you truly are a warrior. You're a tremendous, we all owe you a tremendous amount of gratitude and thanks for everything you're doing. You're very instrumental in the whole online scene and education in helping us create and advocate for policy across this country and to protect kids and families. So on behalf of the entire country, I am thanking you.
I appreciate that, Lynn, very much. For whatever reason, God has just placed an inordinate amount of energy in me directed towards protecting kids and helping families, and glad to partner with you in that. So,
well, we have a lot. Let's jump right in. We have a lot to discuss here, and I want all of our listeners to understand they need this information. First of all, let's give a little background. Who is Chris McKenna?
Yeah, so I'm a guy who never intended to be working in this space. Isn't that the way it goes sometimes?
It's the way it goes.
Right, I'm a CPA by profession. That's what my degree is in, if you were to look into that. But I was called to work in the church with middle school students specifically, Lynn, back in 2009. And so from 2009 to 2016, I watched the internet start to be carried by children. And my former career before that, I was in risk management with Ernst & Young. So I saw risk being put into the pockets of these amazingly fabulous, yet fragile, developmentally fragile children. And it gave me concern. And so I created a Facebook group that led to a website. And now here we are 7 days later with a team and trying to help as many awesome families, right? And that's the tension here. These are good kids and good families, and yet we're confronted with technologies that simply don't care. And so we want to stand in that gap to help all families, but make those decisions so they can be informed about the digital spaces where they're putting our kids, because the inherent posture of many of those digital spaces, whether it's social media or websites or apps, whatever it is, the inherent posture of them is often exploitation, which means we have to go hunt for protection. And that to me makes no sense. I know it doesn't to you or the listeners either. The physical world often works the other way around, that wherever we know large numbers of children are spending time, we default to the safest version of that thing, be it car seats or cribs or bikes or helmets, whatever it is. And we just don't have that posture. We have to hunt to protect. And the default posture of digital spaces is often exploitation. And we want to flip that equation.
so crazy to put all of it onto parents and caregivers protecting children. So that was the birth of Protect Young Eyes. That was the light bulb that went off over your head. You know, so much has, we've spoken before, Chris, and so much has changed since I feel like it's changing on a daily basis with all of the tech landscape. Please provide a little bit of an overall, maybe just even in the last year, of what's going on online and why we really need to come together and create. We're very much at the Warriors grassroots, community-based, you know, why we need these sort of family digital partnerships.
Right, because so Lynn, we have a perfect example sitting in front of us right now, AI, chat, GPT, right? 3 version, now we're into the 4th version, which is now being fed with, like you could look up the number, it's a number we never even learned in math when we were in school, some quazillion number of data points or whatever it is that is being fed this artificial intelligence in order to make decisions. And apparently it can pass the bar exam without human intervention. And so what we did was we turned this loose. And that's our posture with technology. And it's often with our children. And we even saw that happen just 3 weeks ago, where Snapchat, a place where we know millions of young people all over the world are interacting, and yet in their subscription version, which anybody could buy, they put in Snap AI. And right away, people started testing it, others, and we could see that it was broken. It was wrong. It was even participating in what you could call grooming, where it was telling someone who self-identified as a 13-year-old child how to safely go have a romantic encounter with an adult who had DM'd them on Snapchat. So this is our continued posture, not us, but the posture of these apps, is we try before we test. And those who are often the victims of the victims are our children, right? We've done this with technology in classrooms, where we just threw Chromebooks out at kids during COVID like candy, not really understanding some of the other baggage. We know the baggage that comes with that. Even a Common Sense Media study, which showed the large percentage of kids who are consuming pornography at school, is somewhere like the 38 to 40% range, right? So our children are often the victims of this experimentation that we're in the midst of. And that's the stuff that keeps you and I up at night.
So frightening. It's the genie out of the bottle. And I don't know, you know, common sense also would be these devices, if they really cared about the children and all of us, would have been loaded with security features. Instead, we're going back now, trying with some of these things. So far, I don't really see it working out, but you can talk about that. But Chris, I have a question for you. Well, sure. I'm in the middle of New York City, and I know you travel the country a lot. You're doing this, you're educating, you're raising awareness. Why, this is me, why do parents and caregivers and even other family members seem so unaware? Like, there's a lot of good information out there. There are a lot of good organizations and people talking about things. Certainly we can look online, leverage it for good. Are they in denial? This is the part I can't figure out. Because I, as a parent, my kids are older though, in their 30s. I'd be like, I want this information. Where do I find this information? And go, why are they so hesitant? We know it's dark and ugly and overwhelming, but we know what's happening with the kids. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
That's a loaded question, I know.
It is. I don't have a perfect answer, but let me just throw out some thoughts from Chris's brain around this, right? I first want to start off with saying, I mean, we're talking about good parents, you know, a lot of good
Always.
Parents who sometimes you go, why? So there's, I'll pin a little bit of it on something as simple as unbelievable marketing. We have a marketing engine in trillion-dollar companies that is brilliant at convincing good parents of 2 things that aren't true. Number one, that their kids need to be connected. That's lie number one, according to their definition of connection. And that their kids will not thrive, in other words, be a productive adult of some kind without it. And these are brilliant in how they have marketed them and weaponized those 2 fears. Because as a parent, what's the last thing that I want? I don't want my kid to be the only one. I don't want my kid to be lonely. I don't want them to be left out. And so what they've done so brilliantly is, back in the early days of, say, social media, back in like 2012, Instagram just comes out. The cohort of students who didn't have it was greater than the cohort of students who did. And so if we at that time knew what we do today, And we're studying that small cohort of students who are using Instagram, who are experiencing some of the harms they did today. What we would have is a dynamic where the loneliness and the isolation being felt by those using it was greater than the loneliness or isolation being felt by those who weren't. Why? Because there was a larger cohort not using it. Now what slowly happened over time, right? 11 years into this, 1,000 kids a day at a time, is we've shifted that loneliness imbalance to the point where, Lynn, you've heard me say it, I want families to wait. Delay is the way, not no tech, but slow tech as long as possible. But I also know the reality that when you're the parent of an eighth grader and your child is literally the only human in the eighth grade class at their school who doesn't have a smartphone, as much as I want to tell that parent to hold off, that is an incredibly lonely place to be as an eighth grade boy or girl. And it's an incredibly difficult daily battle place to be as a parent. And so the patient marketing around that idea that your child needs to be connected, that they started to plant 12, whatever years ago, has now gotten to the point where the loneliness is greater without having it. And so I'm to the point now where, not that middle schoolers and high schoolers are a lost cause, I work in triage with those families all week, every week, but I want to get in front of every parent who has a primary, kindergarten, first, second, third, whatever grade and whatever country you happen to be in, early primary, and pull them together to shift that back to start cohorts of kids who don't have it being the majority. And I think we finally then get in front of the lie of that marketing, if that makes sense.
Makes complete sense. It's completely frightening. And we also see, Chris, the ages of kids with all of these devices has just in the last few years, younger and younger and younger. Let me ask you, you can answer any way you want, of course, and say anything you want. What's going on with Congress? We have a lot of different bills and things floating around and pending, again, bipartisan. Why is it so tough to crack and really get any of these things passed?
Yeah.
You can leave it if you want. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'll offer some thoughts at the federal level and at least, at the state level here in the US. At the federal level, for maybe one of the first times, we have an industry that too many of the people who have been charged to hold it accountable just simply don't understand. It is moving so fast. The technology, if I would have said the words ChatGPT 6 months ago, everyone would have thought I was making up words. But now it's a part of our ecosystem. We're watching it like take over the internet. And the most recent legislation that we have in place to protect children was passed in 1999, called the Children's Online Privacy and Protection Act. And we expect that, which came out 4 years before MySpace, to keep up with what pace of change we see. So not only do we have an intentionally slow, for good constitutional reasons, legislative process that doesn't create a bunch of hasty bills, we have a technology that is moving faster than even the creators of it to understand it, with those in power who don't understand what those who are making it don't understand. It's a really difficult equation to get anything productive passed in. That's not even getting into some of the lobbying and the politics and the partisanship that's happening. The simple nature of the speed of change and the complexity of the industry we're talking about makes it extremely difficult to legislate if you understand our legislative process. That's what I see at the federal level.
Interesting. Warriors, we're talking with Chris McKenna, founder of Protect Young Eyes, the website protectyoungeyes.com. Chris, we see the whole landscape, this normalization. I see it every single day. I feel like it's really speeding up right in front of our eyes, this sexualization, everything from education, medical, entertainment, culture. Point out some of the online harms, because I'm always rallying against TikTok. I am constantly telling parents, be careful, watch what the kids are doing. They're not listening. What are your thoughts about TikTok?
Well,
and other platforms too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the thought that you offered at the very beginning, I think TikTok is one that feeds. So one of the most not talked about, least talked about, that's a grammatically better way to say that. One of the least talked about, but I believe one of the more sinister things going on in digital spaces today like, okay, so pornography is evil. We all agree on that. That's like a pretty binary thing when it comes to folks like you and I. We can recognize it, we see it, and we go, that's bad. But developmentally, Lynn, all human beings go through these phases of identity solidification, where it moves from our body to our emotions, to our language, and then to this identification of self, which every tween and teen goes through, where I'm asking big questions about who I am, where do I belong, what are my friends going to be? And years ago, right? So I'm a Gen Xer for context, right? 48 years ago, when I was asking those questions, which every tween and teen does, there were only a few voices that were answering that question for me, like family, church, friends, maybe MTV, you know, wiggled in there. Most of the voices that were answering my deep identity-seeking questions were voices who at least knew me and cared about me. You juxtapose that, and I have images that I show parents when I do this. I put four mirrors up on a screen that say family, church, friends, and MTV. What we've done today is we've traded that for a childhood, and then the picture I put up on the screen shows 1,000 mirrors that have the TikTok logo, the Instagram logo, the YouTube logo, the Be Real logo, and the Snapchat logo. And buried behind those 1,000 mirrors are family, friends, and church. Yet they're covered up. Essentially, what we've done is we've put 10,000 mirrors with 10,000 selfish thoughts, voices, and opinions and distorted ideas in front of brains that are highly susceptible to suggestion during this unique developmental period of their life that will never happen again. And we wonder why they're confused. We wonder why they're anxious. We wonder why they change who their identity or whatever they are from day to day. It's because with too many mirrors comes too many choices and too much confusion during a developmental time when the brain needs fewer voices telling it who to be. And that to me is going to play itself out over decades in a generation here. We will see the impacts of the TikTok algorithm nudging slowly our children into these identity sinister places for decades. It's not porn, so it doesn't look bad. But to me, right, this is one of the things that is simply not being talked about enough.
Exactly. And we keep talking about it, though. You know, as far as TikTok, they are talking about it, Chris, though, but about the government getting it off their devices.
That's right.
And my first reaction to that was, gee, they'll talk about that. But what about all the kids stuff we've been talking about? What about all of that? They're ignoring that. And also, they made that announcement recently, Chris, about defaulting in America for the kids to, I think it was 1 hour a day. The kids can decide. I don't really feel like that does anything. Do you?
Well, it's a toggle that any kid can turn off. It's a
right.
It's a marketing ploy. Try to look good at the right time because of all the things you just described related to national security and privacy, which are good and valid concerns. It's their, you know, put a lipstick on the pig campaign. A good marketing again, right? Of course, you're going to make that decision in the midst of what's going on. But you're pointing to this pattern of constant reaction to known problems. There's a fabulous quote. So Hani Farid, the CE Berkeley professor, he's the creator of photo DNA, all the hashing that goes on to identify child sexual abuse material online. So the guy's a genius. But he had this quote, Lynn, that I think you'll resonate with. He says, "We don't treat the harms of technology the same way we treat the harms of romaine lettuce. One person dies, and we pull every single head of romaine lettuce out of every store. Yet the children's exploitation problem is decades old. Why do we not have spectacular technologies to protect kids online?"
You know,
isn't that just the best quote ever?
It's the best quote ever, and I heard him speak. So it was just so amazing to hear this. And how can Chris, you know, whether it's our government, everybody, who wouldn't get on board with all of this to protect our kids? I'm curious, when you give your Protect Young Eyes presentations across the country, what are some of the questions parents, you know, maybe they're shy until they get talking. What are some of the what do they ask, some of the questions, and what do some of the kids ask?
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, the kids feel stuck. I was in front of a group of middle school students, 6th through 8th graders, yesterday morning, and they're in the bleachers all in front of me. And I said to them, I said, "Do you feel as though you have to use social media?" And they all said yes. And I said, from time to time, do you feel like you like it? And then there's so much of it you don't like, but you just simply can't get rid of it because you have to use it in order to stay connected. And like, they all start raising their hands. So there's this immense societal pressure that they feel around that need to be connected. Why? Because when you're a tween or teen, you have a high social sensitivity. And now that enough parents have bought into giving their kids this device as the mechanism to feed that need for high social connection with others, they all feel this pressure to have it because they don't want to be the only one who doesn't. No kid wants to feel that way. Now, on the parent side, what I hear over and over again, because no surprise that many of the parents who come to my talks are parents who often are the ones who at least care about this subject,
right,
is they feel as though no matter what they do, there's always a digital doorway that they just can't control. And that's because we live in a world right now where the default posture of those digital doorways is always exploitative first. And so parents feel as though, gosh, I could have my router in place and parental controls in place on my kid's phone, but they could walk next door and the entire trajectory of their childhood could be changed because of one exposure to one thing that traumatizes their brain in some way. And exposure to some of this content, as you and I both know, is a trauma. It is an adverse childhood experience to many children. And that's the difficult spot that good, amazing parents find themselves in. In that idea of risk mitigation that I talked about earlier, right? That's my mindset coming from my E&Y days, where I'm constantly assessing risk for my kids and others. At some point, there's this inherent amount of risk that is unfortunately all around our children. And that's just a really difficult spot to parent in. It's also a difficult spot to be a kid in, to be honest, but it's a difficult spot to parent in. So that's
well, the whole, yeah, the whole thing is so overwhelming. Give us just some tips for at home. What do you suggest parents do, caregivers do? Because they'll always say to me, but what can I do? Which kind of, you know, jumps on the back of what you just said. And I don't want, my biggest fear, Chris, and this is what happens, people are so overwhelmed and rightfully so with everything going on that they just give up and they don't even address anything. So give us some tips that everybody can attain at home.
Yeah, so we tend to talk about these sort of tips in two big buckets. There's technical solutions, which are the ones that are often overwhelming, and there's relational solutions, which we can do without having to go buy something technical, but we then lack the time or the motivation to do them. So let me, you know, one relational thing is we're big fans of talking about things at least 2 years before you think your kid's going to need it. So if you're listening to this and you have children, make a list of all of the horrible things that you hope never happen to your kids online. And then sometime between now and the next 2 weeks, find a way to have an age-appropriate talk about at least a few of those things. Now, if pornography is one of the things you're concerned with, great, you should be. But don't let the saying of that word or your uncertainty or nervousness or awkwardness around that word get in the way, because I think parents completely underestimate what qualifies as a porn talk, Lynn. I can be in my car with my kids. They're strapped in, captive audience. I love car time, mealtime, and bedtime. Relationally, car time is a good time. I could be driving them to school and I could look at my 13-year-old son and say, hey, bud, you know, if you ever see anything that makes you uncomfortable, number one, you can tell me. Number two, it's not your fault that it happened. And number three, Google me for more answers. If that ever happens to you, bud, just come to me, okay? And then keep driving. Like, to me, Lynn, that's a porn talk. I never said the word, although we talk about that word frequently, but I've set him up to land safely and softly with me, no matter what he's experienced online. So that's my invitation to parents, is don't overcomplicate this. Don't listen to that little lying detractor in your head that's saying you can't, you'll say the wrong things. No. Open your mouth, say it lovingly, they'll get it. On the technical side, especially if you've got younger kiddos, your router is your most important digital device in your house. Think of how many things are connected to the router at that home network level, right? Even your doorbell at times, but your Chromebook, your gaming devices, your tablets, your smart TV. And I want to prevent those early accidental childhood exposures that come from the fact that the Wi-Fi in our home has junk in it. I just want to keep that out. The router is that door that allows the filth in or out in the first place. And that's a confusing technical step, but come to us at Protect Young Eyes, type router into the search bar, and you'll get the ultimate guide to understanding routers, where we demystify all the different situations if you feel that's a complicated spot. So there's two that in the next couple of weeks, check off that relational side and then check off that technical side and start there. And if you don't know where to go for step three, just come visit us and I'd be happy to offer an idea.
I am always sending everybody to you, Chris, at protectyoungeyes.com when they can't, all the time when they can't figure out things. Give us some, let's finish up. Give us some kind of hope for the future. What's up next for Protect Young Eyes? Where do you see all of this going? And some final thoughts on all of this.
Yeah, Lynn, I do have hope. Last year was hard, and we were coming in the States here out of a Congress that really did nothing to protect kids.
Nothing.
And nothing, right? And so that has to, I have some hope. Things that have happened really quickly out of the gate here, like Louisiana passing age verification legislation, other things. I have some hope now that there's some things starting to move, even globally. Things that happened in France back in February with, you know, age verification for porn at 18, social media, consent from parents at age 16. So I'm seeing hope around more guardrails around protecting kids from egregious harm online. So legislatively, I'm seeing hope. I'm seeing more parents buying into the idea of delaying technologies. Again, not no tech, but slow tech. I want them to learn how, but at the right stage and age of life. So I am seeing some hope there. And we need to keep coming together on these things. Tribes of parents, whole cohorts of families coming together, because that's the only way we're going to move companies the size of countries when it comes to these sort of changes. We've got to come together, and I believe that we can, and that's my hope.
I'm right there with you. Community creates change. Chris McKenna, you are a true life warrior. I tell you that all the time, but I truly mean it when I tell you that. Thank you for helping us today and dedicating and committing yourself and bringing candor and truths and facts and sharing your resources to help parents, kids, and all of us stay safe, stay healthy. I urge all of you, please follow Chris McKenna and his team at protectyoungeyes.com. Also on Twitter, also Instagram, Protect Young Eyes. He's all over the place. And we want to thank you so much, Chris McKenna, for joining us. And I want to have you back again soon because we have so many more issues to talk about.
I would love that, Lynn. It's always a blessing to talk to you, and it's been my pleasure.
Thanks, Chris. We'll talk again soon. Coming up, it's March, and we still have Women's History Month. And I want to talk to you about what's going on with women increasingly becoming traffickers of our kids. We'll talk about that when we return to Lynn's Warriors right here on TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
It really is getting hard to believe the stuff that comes out today. I'm not going to even call it disinformation. I'll call it half information. The Washington Post, you know, it used to be a great paper. It really did. I mean, I had a friend that worked for the Washington Post back in the 80s, and we would talk about their editorial board and how they always try to present the other side. But once again, the Washington Post is at it. They say the reason your allergies are getting worse in the United States is because of climate change, because springs are coming earlier. That is total unmitigated nonsense. All right. The last 15 years, there's been no significant change in U.S. March and April temperatures. In addition, it's amazing. We had a warm February in the United States. Guess what? The five-day period running up to the first day of spring, one of the coldest on records, especially in the Deep South. They don't even bother looking. It's the same story over and over and over again. Well, guess what? Maybe there are other reasons why allergies are worse, like what you're eating, what you're drinking, your general health. No, it's got to be blamed on climate change. This is TNT Climate and Weather Watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather we got.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is Lynn's Warriors with Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
You know what, Warriors? I want all of you to be scared from commercials about opioids, fentanyl, marijuana, car seats, lack of... I want you to be scared because you know what? We no longer have the luxury of sitting on the sidelines. It is 2023. We need to engage, educate, and empower. Chris McKenna, our guest, protectyoungeyes.com, has such an excellent website full of tech nuggets. He will help you. You can write to Chris. So please use these free resources. He was talking about routers. I had no idea about routers until I met Chris a couple of years back. And I went to a presentation of his, and he was talking about routers. I had no idea. And again, as Chris pointed out, it's not about you're a bad parent or a caregiver or a grandparent. You just don't have the information. How do you know? So the router in particular is so important. So please, protectyoungeyes.com. Go, peruse, take your time. Look at, you know, sign up for his newsletter. Tech, tech, tech. And the kids, you heard what he had to say. We are in fear of what's happening. It's the genie out of the bottle. Nobody's watching it. And Chris correctly pointed out, we do a lot of policy work together with other great groups and organizations with our government. This Congress, this past Congress, did nothing. No child safety legislation, nothing. The last piece of legislation was 1999. Now, please, 1999? So it's up to us. I'm pointing all of this out because it's up to us to know what's going on, to communicate with the kids, to share the information with our family members and in our communities. We have to do it because nobody's doing it for us. However, as Chris pointed out, we do have a lot of hope because things are, that pendulum is swinging back ever so slightly, but I do see it swinging back and parents really wanting to talk about these things and kids expressing themselves that, you know, we want to put the devices down, but everybody else is doing it, but it is slowly. There's actually a group here in Brooklyn, New York. The kids meet every Sunday at 2 o'clock at one location at a park. None of them have phones. And so they just show up at this spot 2 o'clock and they have no way to communicate. They don't use a landline. They don't use any kind of devices. And they just talk. You know, we used to have what was called in New York, in my day, Warriors, a salon where all kinds of different people came together, every kind of color, political persuasion, anything, came together and would critically like analyze and come up with solutions and debate each other. And it could get a little testy in the room, but then everybody left friends. There was none of this kind of weaponization. There was none of this. Most of us would, you know, you'd go out for dinner, grab a bite afterwards. And it was wonderful and fabulous. And that's what we sort of have to get ourselves and our children back to. We've got to help swing the pendulum back. But I do have hope, and Chris has hope, the pendulum is swinging back because parents are waking up, kids are waking up, and we're here to help them. You know, March, it is still March and it still is Women's History Month in the United States, also the UK and Australia. And I'm very fixated on this because, of course, I think every month should be you know, Women's Month, but we'll take anything that'll bring a little of attention to a subject. And what does it really mean? I mean, the month is supposed to encourage and commemorate, observe and celebrate, but the history we are creating today for our future, our young girls now, our teens, our young women, it is very devastating. And this is the thing that people have to understand. When the promotion is, you know, full sex trade, you know, go out and be a sex worker. When the kids are seeing, and even, you know, young people too, 20s, you know, when they're seeing these streaming shows, because I was going to date myself and say TV, but everything is streaming now. So I'm going to say streaming shows. Everything's very sexualized. You know, when they do on their devices, now something I didn't get into with Chris is that we know by the age 11, a child has seen hardcore porn. So we throw that word porn around a lot. But as Chris pointed out, the way he would have the conversation, if anything comes to you online or if anybody says anything or you see anything, just come to me. So you don't even have to mention that word. We want to mention, I'm mentioning to you the word porn because this is not just sex. This is disgusting, vile, and I know it's a family show, stuff that nobody and especially young eyes should see, because the kids we work with tell us they can't unsee it. It definitely affects them for the rest of their lives. We have even adults now who have been exposed to this as children, and they still say how it affects them. They can't get over. So just take my word for it. It is vile. It is horrific. It is anything you can imagine, probably not imagine. And that is coming over our children's devices. And we know that kids ages 9 to 17 have access to 4 devices. So they're seeing this even when they're not looking for it. And even if they're, you know, their friend might show them a picture at school. And that's another thing. We've got to get these phones out of the schools. We've got to at least check them at the door when the kids are there for the 6 or 7 hours that they're there, so they can totally focus on socialization, their education, and their sports, their dance, their art, whatever they're doing. So we're pushing for that. We're always pushing for that. And it's beginning to happen. Not here where I live in New York City, but other places like Idaho, and also in Louisiana, Florida as well. So we have a lot of women stepping up, becoming traffickers. Remember Ghislaine Maxwell? Because women can easily, cuddle up to a girl and be the big sister, or be that mother that's missing. Because remember, a large percentage of our youth in sex trafficking come from very vulnerable positions. So what's happening is most of these women getting involved in trafficking. So it's very easy for them to develop a relationship with a young girl, a teen. And they themselves, most of them, our studies show, have been trafficked as well. And so the pimps and traffickers just send them out there to rally everybody up. And this is what's happening. But more and more women are doing this. And this is what we also have to address. We have to address and be able to help these women get out of this sex trade. When you're in this as a child, then you're a teen, then you're an adult, and what they've called aged out, and then you, because you're a pimp or trafficker, makes you then the trafficker. You don't know any different. You have to remember, when people say to me, why don't they just leave? They're psychologically damaged. They're under control. They're coerced. That is a definition of human trafficking. As well as, I want to remind everybody, an image traded online that is, say, a nude image, an inappropriate image, inappropriate dialogue, all of that is criminal. That is a form of human trafficking. And when I say inappropriate dialogue, it is sexual talk. So let's, get that straight, with trying to coerce a child or anybody on the other line, send me an image, all kinds of things. Or if they're sending you their images, that is a form of human trafficking, which is human slavery. Slavery is a much more descriptive word because it really describes what is happening right now in our United States of America. And I know it's overwhelming, but we have to stay in our own lanes. We have to start in our own homes and in our communities, educating everybody. And I want to remind everybody, please, lynnswarriors.org. So many take actions, resources. We give you facts. We give you truths. We give you all of these expert interviews coming from TNT. We don't waste your valuable time. We don't want to react. We want to take action. And the United States is not taking care of its youth right now. We've got the mental health crisis. We've got the recent report, over 60% of girls are admitting, teen girls, they are completely hopeless and suicidal. What is this, warriors? So we have to fight back, and we have to group up, we have to parent up, we have to family up, and we have to really take control, because there is a war on for our children. And also, when we know 85% of parents are admitting to using devices as babysitting tools, 1 in 4 kids are approached online by a stranger, presumably an adult, asking them something sexual, and that we know that 70% of parents thereabouts admit they don't know anything their kids are doing online. That's why you come to the Warriors. That's why you go to protectyoungeyes.com. We've laid it out. We are here to help you. We want to intervene. We don't want your kids to be involved in any of this, or at least we want to give you the tools to fight and educate about all of it. Will we stop human trafficking? Will we stop all this sexual exploitation? Let's be real, warriors. No, we won't, but we will be taking action. We will be preventing a new victim, perhaps your child or grandchild. So parents, don't tell me, I don't want to, deal with my child in the phone because that invades their privacy. No, these are family-owned devices. I'm sure you bought that device. You're paying for the internet. you have to create the family digital partnership. You have to sit down. And our guest, Chris McKenna, pointed out very well, it's the dinner table, it's the car ride. We at the Warriors like to use any, you know, in the car kind of talks when nobody can escape us, and not to overthink, not to give out too much information, age appropriate. And again, the ages are getting younger and younger. And people are giving, and I'm not judging, because parents have parental autonomy to give these devices, these phones out, but the ages are getting younger and younger. So you know what? If you're going to do that, you have a duty as a parent to put safety features and filters on all of that. Sound the alarm, Warriors. We have a lot of work to do, but we're doing it. First step, you tuned into the Warriors right here on TNT. Thank you, listeners. Write to us, tntradio.live. We are here for you. And we've got to thank, again, Chris McKenna and his team at protectyoungeyes.com for their incredible tech work and joining us and sharing vital information to keep the kids safe in the United States. And we always have to thank Alex, our engineer on the board, for keeping all running smoothly. Ruckus, our producer, and our entire TNT family for giving us this platform to share critical and crucial news and information you need to know. Until we meet again, this is Lynn's Warriors on TNT Radio. Remember, today, every day, it's 2023. We can no longer sit on the sidelines. It's time to take action, engage, educate, empower yourselves and your children.